Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here with Jill Oman, executive chef and general manager of McCarthy's Red Stag Pub in downtown Bethlehem, which has been serving up food from Ireland and the British Islands for more than 20 years. Jill, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Thank you for having me.
So McCarthy's Red Stag Pub actually got its start in 1997 as Granny McCarthy's Tea Room and Bakery. What are some of the changes that have been happening over the last 4 years or so, which culminated in becoming a full-fledged restaurant?
Neville had to decide whether or not there would be money in tea.
And that's Neville Gardner, the owner, right?
Correct. Yeah. He had to make a decision on whether to fold. He actually thought about it for a second, or spend the money and get a liquor license. He chose, the entrepreneurial that he is, to buy the liquor license. And the rest is kind of history, because we've had that, you know, since October of 2013. And since then, it's morphed into a pub with being open 7 days a week, having the full-fledged breakfast, having bar that's just started as beer and whiskey, to growing to 21 taps with over 300 whiskeys and every liquor you can imagine. So our bar manager now does a great job trying to pick some things like sangria and some cold brew coffee on tap, and we have the tap system for cocktails. So we're growing exponentially from going up to out the patio that we put in 2 years ago. Bar moved last year from the back of the to the side. This year he's renovating Donegal Square, the retail shop, and we have plans to renovate the third floor of the main street, that building, making it offices, more banquet space. So I don't think he'll ever stop.
Now the decor, since it became Red Stag Pub, just really warm. There's a lot of wood in there. I mean, how would you describe?
He modeled it after a bar in Belfast, and the Crown. Forgive me, I don't know the exact name, but in those, he always knew when he did the big renovation that he wanted snugs, which are the little private booths that we have when you first walk in. There's three with the door that you can shut and have semi-privacy. He knew he always wanted those with the stained glass, because that's the bar that he modeled it around.
This is Belfast, Ireland, not Belfast, Pennsylvania, off of 33.
Ireland, very right? much. He's from Northern Ireland, so yes. So that's kind of that right there was how do we make that and the rest of the place look, you know, with the doors and the wood. And our contractor hand-carved those wood pillars. He did a really good job, the whole bar. And we will be doing, like I said, we'll be doing another phase of it coming up here in the next year probably.
Now, how does one define Irish and British cuisine? And even more importantly, I think, how has that definition evolved over time?
Well, you know, you can stay classic Irish and British, but you're in America, so you have to put a couple of twists on it. Like, you would not see chicken wings necessarily in an Irish pub in Ireland, but you take that and say, well, how can we make them our own? And I was talking to your executive producer out here, and he was saying how much he loved them. And I said, well, you know, you take anything and you soak it in whiskey for 3 days, right? Or you put anything with a potato on it and you can call it Ireland, right? So, you know, potatoes and taking what they do and what Neville has done his whole life and how he grew up, taking his recipes that he sends me almost every week. He always finds something and say, okay, well, how can we make this so the common person that never have been there would like it? Because obviously not everybody, when you're going out with a group of friends, is going to say, hey, let's go all eat Irish food. You got to have a nice little mix of everything that people can like, from our fish and chips to the wings, to the burgers, to our standard cottage pie, bangers and mash, stuff like that. So
are many of the recipes or many of the dishes on the menu inspired by Neville and Neville's family?
Yes. There are things that he won't give away, like, you know, his brown bread recipe that took him forever, and the farl, and Irish boxties, the little pancakes that look like crepes. His gravy is something that people want us to give the recipe to all the time, and he just, nope, I'll tell you what's in it, but I'm not going to tell you how to make it, kind of thing, right? There's some trademark secrets there.
And if you want it, come into the restaurant.
We do, and I have a group of people that come in and just make sure when they come, they have to get something with the gravy on it.
Well, I read about the story of the bread that goes back to the first days of McCarthy's. What makes it unique, and what's the story behind it?
Well, you know, that's Neville's. That's a question more for Neville. I know he looked all over the place for the right blend of oats and steel-cut oats and wheat flour.
And so it's a darker bread, right?
It's a dark bread. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have any yeast. It's a non-yeast bread, so it's with a little bit of baking soda, buttermilk. So he had to get the blend right. So the flour that we mix in it, the wholemeal flour, is something that we made per ratios. So you can't run to the store and get wholemeal flour. We sell it at the shop for you already mixed. So if you're interested, we also sell the bread mix already mixed. All you have to do is dump it out and put the buttermilk in, and you make a loaf of bread. And we also do baking and cooking classes as well. So if anybody's ever interested to come in the first week of every month, we hold a little cooking class and a baking class so people can learn stuff like that. We'll show you. We're not give you the recipes.
Right. But you can make the bread at home yourself.
Yep.
And talking about bakeries, how does an Irish bakery differ from maybe a more conventional American bakery or a traditional
French? It's not as sweet, I want to say. So everything that's in our case, I mean, the big thing is scones. And scones are not by nature sweet and moist. They're not. They're meant to be sipped with tea or coffee, so you're supposed to dunk them. So they're not overly in your face. Like when you think of a French patisserie, you're thinking really sweet, custardy,
kind of rich confectionery. Buttery too,
right. So, you know, scones are flour, butter, buttermilk, and any kind of thing you want to mix in it. So people will say, oh, well, I thought it was going to be more like a donut. Because, you know, in the United States, that's what we want with our coffee. We want sweet. But, you know, you cut it, put a little bit of clotted cream and some jam on it. It's just a different idea of how they over there. So it's not sweet.
And what's the secret to making a good scone? If you're able to disclose that.
I think it's simplicity. So like our pastry chef is amazing. She's kind of taken it on her own and created some interesting concoctions too. So using fresh ingredients, whatever's in season, making our standard scone, which is basically plain with sugar on top, to our fancy scones that have white chocolate and dates and Earl Grey tea and orange in it, to making using fresh blackberries, she just did a jalapeno cheddar one. So, and we use that as a base instead of a muffin, right, for a dessert or for a breakfast special. So we're always, the three of us, my sous chef, we're always discussing how can we make a standard biscuits and gravy dish something more Irish. So, you know, instead of using ground beef, we use ground boar. Instead of using a biscuit, we use a scone. So, you know, stuff like that. That's what I mean by taking something that's truly American and flipping it to
using some of those traditional Irish treatments or Irish ingredients.
Correct. And it gets people
giving
them
a little bit of a twist.
And Neville's always in the restaurant walking around, willing to share his stories. I mean, he's phenomenal at that, and people love seeing him, and he will talk your ear off. Unfortunately, he's in Ireland right now, so he couldn't be here.
And how did you personally get into cooking?
I always enjoyed it. My mother always let me pull up the stool when I was younger growing up. After high school, it was like you got to go to college. So I went to college for biology because that was what I was good at. And I thought I was going to be a physical therapist, right? You're 18 years old. You don't know what you're supposed to do. Out of college, I moved to Colorado, Denver, Boulder, because my best friend's brother lived there for no other apparent reason. Worked as a telemarketer. Worked in the Boulder County Jail for 3 years. Thought I was going to become in law enforcement. Changed my thing. And my best friend looked at me and said, you know, you always cooked. You were always the person that you cook when we were together. So why don't you do that? And I'm like, okay. I went to the Art Institute of Colorado. Got another bachelor's degree. And then from there, I came back here. And like I said, I worked at the Brew Works for 10 years. And then
you've been here for 4 years or so.
Four and a half years, almost five. Yep.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You mentioned how the bar offerings have expanded quite a bit at the Red Stag Pub. And how many whiskeys, you said?
Almost 300.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's not even touching as many that are out there.
Now, I was going to ask, how should one maybe start exploring whiskey? But I saw that you have classes, right?
We have whiskey classes the first Thursday of every month. Next Thursday, we have one that's the Sherry Cast. So we kind of pick a brewery, like if it would be Glenlivet's, you get four expressions out of that series. We're doing Sherry Casts, so there's going to be different whiskeys, but they're all going to be Sherry Casts. A good way to start is come in, buy a book. We have little passports that you can start. Talk to our bartenders. They're all very, very knowledgeable. We've all been through Whiskey Ambassadors, so we are a Whiskey Ambassador approved place. We all went to class and got approved. They're good at always telling you, you say, here's what I like. They can always get you started. You write little notes. You come back the next week. What can I do next? We're very educated, and you don't have to come to a class for that. Just sit at the bar and talk to our bartenders because they are very good at what they do.
Now, I know with certainly beer and wine, they're known for different types of pairings. Is whiskey a pairing for Irish food?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have some things on our menu that says this would be good with, on our special sheets, we say try it with, you know, like if we're running a special, my whiskey person will say, here, why don't you have her, we'll do a pairing. We're working on getting a pairing with chocolate and whiskey, so we're doing a flight of whiskey with a flight of chocolate truffles. We do whiskey pairings. We offer those for private or corporate events. So if someone wants to come in and bring 12 friends and they want to do a private whiskey tasting with food, we do come to people's house and do it as well. We've been offering that. That's another way we're growing outside of the restaurant when you're only so big, right? So we go to other places and get people involved in whiskey because hopefully that will help them come in too.
Right. And you did mention the baking classes. How often are those?
We have the first week of every month is dedicated to classes. So the first Tuesday is cooking. First Tuesday. First Wednesday is baking. And the first Thursday is whiskey. Now, we pushed it off a week this month because it fell on the 4th of July.
Right.
So that's why the whiskey tasting is this Thursday. But like last week, I did a cooking demo. And it's not always Irish. Like last week, it was I did my mom's chili, and with cornbread, and then the strawberry pie. The class has a strawberry pie, so it's not always Irish because you can't 12 a year. It's hard. Everybody doesn't want Bridie's and cottage pie, and it's tough. You don't want to always just give everybody potato and beef, right, and lamb. So,
and then. With the move to Red Stag Pub, also you have live music on the weekends.
Yes,
correct?
Friday and Saturday night from 9 to 11, and Sunday mornings from 11 to 1 for our brunch.
Okay, and is that generally Irish music, or is it a
Sunday is always, we always try to stick to Irish on Sunday, and we always try to get our bands that can play some Irish, like Seamus Kelleher plays a lot, Jimmy Farrell. We have Unbroken Rain, Piper's Request. We have a lot of our standard that do play a couple of Irish, and then on Friday and Saturday nights we also like to have some people like the Rock Out with the Led Zeppelin, like and be able to play a bunch of different covers of other things. So
kind of like the menu, a little Irish inspired,
so
but a little
bit
American.
You sprinkle that in every once in a while, people are happy. I don't know. Sometimes we put it off until a little later. We used to do our music a lot earlier, and then we just didn't. Dinner, you come for the music at 9 afterwards, not necessarily during dinner.
Now, is there still a room upstairs for receptions?
Correct.
And events?
Yep.
Talk a little bit about that space and what it's used for.
We have a great room. It holds about 50 people. There's a complete bar upstairs for private events, parties. We're doing a retreat right now for next week for a business who's doing their own demo. So I'm going to get out and do a demo for this business. So we do, like I said, up to 50 people. Baby showers are the big thing. Bridal showers, rehearsal dinners. That's what we see the most of.
Especially with an Irish influence.
Yeah,
right?
Irish influence. And right next to the hotel, which is great, and it's a small space. So it's, when someone goes to Hotel Bethlehem, it's huge.
Yeah, this is more intimate.
This is a, 30 to 50 people is a really nice size room, and you're not crowded. Then you have the pub downstairs. You can go down there on a Friday night after your event, listen to some music. So it's a nice little.
Oh, we encourage people to come check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Jill, thanks for joining us here
at
WDIY. I'm Mike Dravenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.